Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick. Welcome to this week's HopeCast during this Christmas holiday time season. I want to give you something that will help your heart have hope, and that is around the subject of angels. I've asked my dear friend Jen Houston to be with me as we co-host this HopeCast today. Jen, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, David. It's an honor to be here.
How's your family doing?
We're doing well. We're very excited for the upcoming Christmas holiday.
Oh, this is just a special time of year, isn't it? So many memories, the warmth of the fires, the glow of people's hearts shining brighter than ever before during this season, people enjoying family and fun and fireplace and football, but I hope faith as well.
Yeah.
And today I wanted to emphasize a part of the Christmas story that I think oftentimes gets overlooked, and that is the importance of angels. We love the topic of angels and sometimes see them as these little Cupid characters with their bows and arrows fluttering around with their wings. But angels really are a significant part not only of the Christmas narrative, but the entire story of the Bible. In fact, I believe that here is from where they came. God is perfect love. But in order for love to exist, it's got to have an object of its love. So when I hear people say, well, God is one, how could there be one God in three persons? I would ask the question, well, do you believe that God is love? And if someone says, well, of course I believe that God has to be love, I would then ask the question then, well, how can God only be monotheistic without three persons and also be love? Because love demands an object of love, and God had no one whom he could love. So therefore, what we believe as Christians is God the Father loved God the Son, God the Holy Spirit loved God the Father, and that cross-pollinization of love existed among the three persons in the Godhead. It was that love then that God finally said in the uniqueness of that triune Godhead, let's extend outward our love. Let's create more objects of our love. And I believe the next concentric circle outward that God created was the angels, that God created many different angels. The Bible suggests there are millions upon millions of angels. And in that angelic order, God created a hierarchy of powers and principalities. And evidently, biblically, there are several archangels. One is named Gabriel, one is named Michael, who is essential in the defeat of Satan. Well, who's Satan? The Bible seems to suggest he was an archangel originally, who may well have been the worship leader of all the other angels. We see in Isaiah 6 that one of the purposes of angels is to sit before the throne of God and sing regularly, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, that they love to worship and sing praises to God. It could well be that Satan was the one orchestrating that worship of God until he finally decided to lead a rebellion, taking one-third of the angelic order with him, those angels becoming the demons, and then this Satan, the destroyer, has as his job description to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, the bad news is there are one-third of those angels who have now fallen, led by a powerful archangel Satan, but they're only one-third of them. The good news is two-thirds of the angels remained faithful to God, and they continue to love God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They continue to love one another faithfully. Well, in that continued narrative, we have yet another concentric circle that was made outward, and that's, Jen, human beings, you and me, that God created humanity beginning with Adam and Eve for the purpose of love. He wanted them to know his love, and he wanted to receive their love in return. Not because God's a megalomaniac, but because God's just love. He loves to love. He loves to receive love. And everybody knows that reality is true. Well, Satan came to this earth, and he tempted Adam and Eve to fall, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, saying basically in rebellion, we want to be God. And when that happened, this whole world became terribly corrupted. But God, in his holiness, knowing the sinfulness of humankind headed toward destruction and eventual eternal separation from him in hell, Matthew 25:41 being God created hell for the devil and his angels who had rebelled against him, but also for anyone else who took on Satan's particular rebellion against God. The only way that rebellion could be overcome was by the forgiveness of our sins. So God the Father said to God the Son at some point in human history, "Would you go? Would you go?" And the Son said, "Yes." And Jesus the Son left the splendor of heaven and entered the squalor of humankind, this environment stained and corrupted with sin, entered into the Virgin Mary's womb, created by the power of the Holy Spirit, as the Gospel of Luke tells us. And what's so fascinating, Jen, as you look at the Christmas story, which means God sending his Son into the world, the incarnation, the Father saying to the Son, "Would you put on human flesh?" Philippians 2, 5 through 11, that the Son did not think equality with God was something to be grasped, but humbled himself in obedience to the Father, sending his Son into the world, putting on the likeness of human flesh, but sinless in human flesh. And basically this child Jesus, because he was created by the power of the Holy Spirit, bypassed the whole way that sin is passed on into the world, this child being perfect God and perfect human in every possible way. He had to be in order to live the perfect life none of us can live, so that he could go to the cross and take the wrath of the Father for our sin, his holiness being impugned by our unrighteousness, his wrath, the Father's wrath, poured out on his Son Jesus and not on us, so that we can be forgiven by grace through faith. The Christmas story is a rescue mission, God rescuing us from our sin to give us eternal life. Now go back to Mary, this, 13, 14-year-old virgin teen, and the angel appears to her. Who is the angel? The Bible tells us. Gabriel, one of the archangels. This Gabriel is essential to the Christmas narrative. Not only did he appear to Mary to tell her she's going to carry the Christ child, but he also appeared to Zechariah, the priest in the temple, who and he and his wife Elizabeth wanted a child so badly, so desperately. He was praying in the temple probably at that time, asking God for a son. And Gabriel comes and says, "God has heard your prayers. And Elizabeth is going to conceive even in her old age." And of course, that child is John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, prophesied by Malachi in Malachi 3 and 4. And that prophecy fulfilled in this great gift of God to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And actually, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, her cousin, and when she walks into the room, Mary has just recently learned of the conception of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit in her womb. Elizabeth had known for 6 months now that John was coming into the world. And when Mary walked into Elizabeth's presence with Jesus in her womb, created by the power of the Holy Spirit, the child John in Elizabeth's womb, now about 6 months old, leaps for joy, which is an amazing narrative about what happens in the womb, that children can feel emotion, feel pain. And interestingly, the child in that text is the term that literally means a child, the same term that Jesus uses later on, "Let the little children come to me." Same word, and it's one of our pro-life arguments, as you know, Jen, of those of us who stand on biblical truth. But it was, again, the angel Gabriel that came to Zechariah, the angel Gabriel that came to Mary. Now let's take one more step. It's the angel Gabriel that came to Joseph when Joseph went after receiving the news about Mary's pregnancy. How did this happen? And he was in the betrothal time period, that 1 year's time period where they were getting ready to be officially married, not married yet. And Joseph's thinking, "How can I get out of this? How can I get out of this?" And Gabriel appears to Joseph and says, "No, this child is by the Holy Spirit. This child is from God. You stay married to Mary." And evidently he did, and must have been a great father, don't you think, Jen?
Yeah.
Just a wonderful daddy to the Son of God on this earth. You know, when you think of all the things we want for our children, and what did God give Jesus but a great mom and dad?
Yeah.
Not power, not privilege, not possessions, but a great mom and dad to raise him in the nurture and admonition of God himself. And That's what happened in the Christmas narrative. Gabriel appeared to all three of those major Christmas characters that we rejoice over every year. And then one other thought, an angel appeared to the shepherds as well. We don't know if it was Gabriel or not. It just says in the text, an angel. But right after the angel informed the shepherds to go and worship this Christ child born in Bethlehem, an angelic military choir came.
I love this part.
Dozens, maybe hundreds of angels, I think, singing in a military chorus, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill toward men.
Yeah.
Jen, angels, they are a part of the Christmas story. And not only is their purpose to worship the living God in Isaiah 6, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, but we see in Hebrews 1:14, their purpose also as well is to minister to God's elect.
Yeah.
So I wonder this, if Gabriel was so important in the Christmas narrative, if angels appear throughout the Bible to help God's people, maybe one of the things we should do during this Christmas time period is ask God to send us an angel. For all of us are going through stuff. We have problems in our lives. We have difficulties confronting us. Maybe we should take some time to say, Lord, send me an angel. Help me. In the Old Testament, one angel came to free the Israelites from the onslaught of Sennacherib, the evil king of Assyria. One angel came and defeated 185,000 soldiers.
Wow.
Lord, send me an angel.
Wow.
and Lord, if you want to, please send me Gabriel. I wouldn't mind that at all.
Wow.
If you want to send me an archangel, Gabriel, Michael, or whomever. But, you know, one angel sent from God has more power than the most powerful person on the face of this earth. And Jen, I just want us to recapture angels during this Christmas narrative. Not only Gabriel, but all of the angels mentioned in the Bible and all those we could call upon in our times of need.
Well, I know there is a scripture. I know you know where it is. I'm not going to try to pretend like I know where it is, but it talks about when we pray, it sends angels to flight.
Yeah, Psalm 91. And they cause us not to trip over those places in our lives we may not see. They protect us from the deadly pestilence during the COVID continued problem. That's been one of my prayers. Lord, send me angels who will protect me from contracting COVID. And I just think the Lord does that.
Yeah.
So in Psalm 91, if people have never read that chapter in the Bible, and it will encourage you about the power of angelic forces that can come help us in our times of need.
And there's also another verse that talks about how we may have already in our lifetime entertained angels.
Unaware. It's from the book of Hebrews chapter 13. And Marilyn and I have an interesting story. When we were first starting out in ministry, I had a weekly Bible study at the church I used to pastor, and only about 10 or 15 people showed up. But we were enjoying that fellowship as we were just starting out in ministry. Well, one evening, two guys showed up off the street, disheveled, and they told us they were hungry. So after the Bible study, Marilyn and I took them up to a filling station. We bought them a bunch of food and drink and just said, we wanted to do this for you in the name of Jesus. And right before one of them left, he looked at Marilyn and said, you have just entertained angels unaware.
Whoa. Goosebumps.
Oh, my goodness. And to this day, she still sees his face. She still knows the voice, hears the accent, and just wonders if indeed they weren't angels. And God gave us a test whether we would entertain them, care for them, and love them, and practice hospitality as he wants us to do so.
That is amazing. That boosts my faith, and it reminds me of one time I was in a prayer meeting, and I remember being the one that was praying aloud at the time, and I thought somebody had come up behind me and grabbed my arms, and I turned around when I was finished praying. Nobody was there, and I felt like the Holy Spirit just said, that was an angel to secure you, to strengthen you in your intercession.
Oh, wow, Jen. Well, you know, I am convinced of this, that the veil that separates this visible temporal world from the invisible eternal world is very, very thin.
Me too.
I mean, I wonder, what does Hebrews 12 mean when it says we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses cheering us on to the finish line, saying you can make it, you can make it, and death just being the transition from this visible temporal world into the invisible eternal world. And I just wonder if the angels, along with our loved ones who've gone on before us, aren't that cloud of witnesses mm-hmm. who are cheering us on, saying, keep going, keep going. And I've actually had Marilyn one time felt literally an angel's wing and its feathers tickle her face in a time of worship some years ago.
Wow.
And just felt the presence of the angelic choir around us.
Oh, my goodness.
So my point this Christmas is, hey, listeners, why not reread the Christmas narrative with an appreciation for the angels who are throughout the story, especially Gabriel, and realize, again, Hebrews 1:14, that angels are ministering spirits, creatures, spiritual creatures created by God for the purpose of love. Ask one to be sent to you to help minister love to you, to help you overcome an issue, to help you worship deeper, to help you love God more. He just might do it. Mm. And if that happens, no, Jen, when it happens, let's make sure we praise God from whom all blessings flow. We never worship angels.
That's
they
right.
never want to be worshiped.
That's right.
They keep pointing to Jesus, the one who indeed should be worshiped today and forever. Jen, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, David.
And Merry Christmas to all of you listeners. And just ask God for an angel to help you. He just might send you one today and whenever you might need a special touch. Merry Christmas.